Going to have our Bible reading now for this morning, and Rupert is going to come and read for us. Thank you.
Amen. What a glorious summer we're having. Some of us are suffering in the heat. And you know what? Today's reading is quite appropriate for that, because it speaks about trials and suffering, taken from James chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, which can be found on the Church Bibles on page 1212, or 1213. It'll be up on the screen. Okay, here we go. James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. Trials and temptations. My friends, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Now, believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. But the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Simples. Thanks be to God for his word to us today. Amen.
Okay, so we've had our Bible reading. Which book of the Bible did it come from?
James.
James, well done. Okay. So in preparing for this morning, I had to think, well, who is this James? Did you know that there are at least seven James in the New Testament? So quite either common name or popular name, who knows? But seven James in the Bible, in the New Testament anyway. And the James who wrote this letter is actually the brother of Jesus. Okay? So James, the brother of Jesus. And he's writing this letter to Christians who are being persecuted. Now, persecuted is a big word. Certainly a long word, isn't it? What does persecuted mean? Any suggestions? Sorry?
Harassed or killed
because of our faith in Jesus. Yeah. Difficult?
Ridiculed.
Oh, sorry, ridiculed, yeah. People might mock you or tease you. You know, you're not part of the God squad, are you? You don't go to church, do you? You don't believe all that about, yeah, ridiculed, mocked. Anything else that we...
Marginalized.
So maybe you're not included, you're excluded because of your faith. Yeah, very much so. Being cast out, you mean in sense being isolated from others, and bullying, it's very much a type of bullying. So some people go to prison, and in the time when James is writing this letter, you could be killed if you said, well, I believe in Jesus, I'm following Jesus, he is the Messiah, even though he's not around these days because he's gone back to the Father, but I stake my life on him. And people would often pay with their life. And in some parts of the world, even today, sadly, that can still happen or does happen. Persecution is it's a real trial, isn't it? A real challenge for all of us. So anyway, it was James, the brother of Jesus, who writes this letter. I wonder if you can imagine what it would be like to have Jesus as a brother as you were growing up. What is it like having a brother? Or sister, of course. There's always a bit of sibling rivalry, isn't there? Even though you got on really well most of the time, I suppose, I hope, but sometimes there's a bit of sibling rivalry. Why him, not me? Why her? Why does she get that? And I'm not, why am I not allowed to do what they, I wonder if it's a bit like that with Jesus and James and his brothers and sisters in the family. No, Jesus must have been the perfect child. You know, I don't suppose you had to tell Jesus to tidy his room. You know, I imagine he ate all his Brussels sprouts. You know, he was the perfect child, wasn't he? And you didn't have to tell him twice to do something. I wonder if that rubbed up the brothers and sisters the wrong way. A little bit, perhaps. So here he is, he's writing this letter to people, Christians, who are being persecuted. And you mentioned a number of things related to being persecuted, being teased. That can be really hard, you know, particularly in school or maybe in work as well. Not easy at all, is it? So James wants the Christians that he's writing to, he wants them to stand firm in what they believe in. You know, he doesn't want them to listen to all that's been said around them that would maybe drag them away from Jesus. And so that's what his aim is. Stand firm in what you believe. You know, don't hide under the table. Don't hide your faith away. Don't keep quiet. Hold to what you believe. You know, in the book of James, or in the letter of James, there's lots of instructions, practical instructions about how to live the Christian life. And I'm going to put up a slide, or James will put up a slide. These are not from the book of James, but these are some instructions that we read in the Bible. I want to suggest they're not easy to do, but they're very easy to understand, that we know what they mean. So, I think from Proverbs, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We get that, don't we? We know what that means, to trust the Lord. Love your neighbor as yourself. Again, I don't think we have any problem understanding what that is asking us to do. Let your light shine before others. Do not be anxious about anything. You know, give everything to God that you're worried about. Cast all cares on him. Go into all the world, make disciples. We understand all these kind of instructions. I wonder if we can have the next slide. And James tells us, gives us this instruction. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. I thought, what? Consider it pure joy? So I looked up the word joy and discovered that joy is a feeling of great happiness and pleasure. What? Really? So when I'm being bullied or teased or sidelined or worse, or maybe when I'm grieving the loss of someone I love, or maybe even the loss of a pet, you know, any challenge that we face in life, James says, consider it pure joy. Wow. Wow. I don't know what you make of that. I'm thinking, really? So we had our little demonstration earlier, didn't we, with the lemon and the oranges. What comes out of us when we're squeezed, when the pressure is on? Is it something bitter or something sweet? Well, James says it really should be something sweet. Consider it pure joy. Well, is James saying, whenever you face a trial, a difficulty, a challenge, is it saying, well, that should really be a great feeling of happiness and pleasure? No way. That's not what he's saying, is it? He's talking about a very different type of joy. He's not talking about that warm, fuzzy feeling we get maybe at school when the teacher says, well, the weather's been so atrocious, and it's so hot or so warm or so cold, you don't have to do any work today. And you think, oh, wow, that's great. Or your team wins a football match, you know, and you're celebrating. It's not that kind of joy that James is talking about. I wonder if we can have the next slide, please. So here's a list, a sample list of some of the trials that we might face. Feeling that we're not good enough and the pressure to live up to other people's expectations. Okay, we might look at someone else, think, well, they're doing really well, they're really good at that, but not me. And sometimes that can feel a real trial, a real challenge. Making friends with people that we can really trust. You know, finding friends is in itself a real challenge. People that we can trust, people that we can open up to. And see how we're really feeling. Caring for an elderly parent or relative. That's a challenge, isn't it? That can be a real trial. being bullied at school or work, letting your friends know that you're a Christian. Maybe we've all been there and found that that sometimes can be a really difficult thing to do. Losing someone we love, or even possibly a pet that you've had for many, many years and considered part of the family. And that's just a sample list, really, of trials, temptations, challenges. And maybe for you, one of those is relevant. Or maybe you have other trials. And by the way, James doesn't say, if you face trials, he says, whenever. You know, we will all face trials, won't we? We will all face tough times, and they come in so many different ways. And we are to consider it pure joy. Now, I don't know how you feel when you even think about that. I have to say, I'm not really okay with that. I'm not comfortable with that idea. See, when the Christian life, or when our life is going really well, and you know, we've got good friends, school, work, we've got a nice job, nice car maybe a nice husband or wife, or good friends, and everything's going really well, we just say, thank you, Lord, don't we? Thank you, Lord, it's really good. Praise your name. And we're full of the orange juice, we're full of sweet responses. But when the trials come, that is when we're really tested. That is when our faith is tested. It's not tested when everything's going really as we want it to be. Trials come to test us, to see, is our faith really genuine? Does it stand up to a test? Or do we wilt and wither and, you know, handle it really quite badly? Trials come to test our faith. Now, as I said earlier, sometimes when I go through a trial, I'm not always sweet, I'm not always praise the Lord or God is good. Sometimes I can feel quite bitter and maybe even want revenge in a situation or payback or why me? Why does it happen to me? So how do we respond in the right way? What's going to help us to respond in the right way? Well, our roots in Jesus need to go down deep, don't they? Our roots in Jesus need to go down deep. If they're only shallow, so when a trial comes, we're not able to stand against it. So how do we get our roots down deep into Jesus? How do you think that might happen? What will it take for our roots to go down deep? Any suggestions?
You need fertilizer.
Well, talking about our life with Jesus, how does our roots go down deep with our life in Jesus?
Watering of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit. Prayer, spending time with God.
Words of God.
Reading the Bible. We need to grow our relationship with Jesus, don't we? So we learn to trust him. We learn to trust him in the little things that just annoy us a little bit. You know, And it might just seem a little thing. I didn't get my way. And, oh no, what am I going to do? And just learning to trust Jesus with that. So that when a bigger trial comes along, our roots are down deep enough that we're not going to become all bitter and twisted and depressed or whatever. And that's what James is saying to this Christians who are being persecuted. He wants them to have their roots down deep in Jesus, because trials will come. They will come, maybe even now today you're going through a trial. You know, if I was to go around every one of you and ask you what's been a challenge to you recently or even now, we would all have something. They do come our way. What comes out? Is it sweet or is it bitter? And I just, to finish with, really, verse 12, I just love this verse that James writes. He says, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Isn't that wonderful? If we don't wilt, if we don't give in and respond in the wrong way to every challenge or trial, the Lord sees it, doesn't he? He knows what we're going through. And then one day he'll be able to give us the crown of life. Can you imagine that? That Jesus personally comes and places on your head and says, you know, well done, these words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, you've served me well. And when the trials have come, when the challenges have come, you stood firm. You continued to trust in me. And you know, I've been so delighted watching you over the years. Now here, precious child, is your crown of life. Can you imagine? Now, I'm not saying for a minute trials are easy. By their very nature, there wouldn't be trials otherwise. They are hard, really hard. And I'm sure we've all faced trials where we've all responded in a way that we shouldn't have done, and we wish we hadn't have done. And that's because they're hard. They're not easy. But God is faithful, isn't he? God is faithful. Trials are hard, and they will come, but God is faithful too. So I put up there, our trials, they're not wasted. No, they're purpose. There's a purpose that God has. Your pressure is not pointless, maybe a similar thing. And God is building something beautiful and lasting in our lives. So whether it's at school or at work or wherever we find ourselves in family or friends, and we find ourselves going through a challenging time, God is doing something beautiful in us for all eternity. And one day, wouldn't it be amazing if he was able to place on our head the crown of life? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you, we praise your holy name. You are indeed our faithful God, the God who walks beside us, the God who lives in us by your Spirit. The God who understands all that we go through. And Lord, if you're going through a particular trial this morning, then be particularly close, Lord, we pray. Thank you that in the midst of our trials, you are at work, that you are producing that perseverance, that steadfastness, that stickability to hold on to you, even when we don't understand. And so, Father, in the midst of whatever trial we face, help us to trust in you. May our response be as you would want it to be. And so help us, Lord, to put down deep roots into Jesus. Lord, bless us, we pray, throughout this coming week, whatever we face, help us to know that we don't face it alone. Our trust is in you. So hear our prayers as we offer you our praise, our thanks, and our worship. In the name of Jesus. Amen.